This direct voice talk is given by Brother Boniface, who speaks on the subject of astral contacts.
Greetings, my friends.
Greetings, Brother Boniface.
Greetings, Brother Boniface. Wonderful to hear your voice again.
One cannot find words, as I've so often said, to depict or describe so much that is of the spirit. For that which is of the spirit, though it may well be and often is visible, it is something that is so much of one's inner soul, one's inner realization, that neither words nor any other method or way can depict or describe it. There is much that we see in a visual sense that is so apparent to us of the spirit, and yet there is much more that we know of deep within our innermost soul. We live in a world so far removed in so many differing ways from that of earth, and so much are we sensitized to conditions far beyond your comprehension, that when we enter into your earth world and endeavor to impart some of our knowledge, some of that which is so much of our own life, we realize how very limited it must be by the very nature of life itself. For you and your world are to some extent affected not only by the very material conditions under which you have your living, but also by conditions around your world commonly called the astral. And one must remember that this astral vibration or condition of life is as real as your world is to you. And in that astral condition are innumerable vibrations, and there are untold numbers of souls who are going through varying degrees of evolution and progression, who are, as it were, by their experiences beginning to learn and to know and to sense and to feel and evolve, and as they so evolve, so cast from themselves some aspects of their nature and experience. And all this clouds, to some extent, your world, and also to some extent affects a clear channel from our world, which lies further removed from the astral and your own. And that is why I think so often in seances and at circles, as you call them, through instruments and sensitives and mediums, you receive a conglomeration of thoughts, ideas, statements, impressions, and all this mixture, which in itself, coming through to your world through varying channels, becomes oft-times distorted, oft-times confusing, and sometimes even distressing the recipients in your world. You may think that that which I say to you today particularly is distressing. Particularly when you have in mind the aims of the work that we are endeavouring to do, to reach into your world minds that are open to receive truth, knowing full well that in the endeavour to reach people, quite often it is necessary to paint a picture that will be acceptable to them, which will be for them something that will cause them to rejoice. Of course, this is all true, inasmuch that this is our task and our desiring that we shall give cause for rejoicing, that we shall give cause for people to strive and uplift themselves. But it would be very wrong of us if in endeavouring to do the work of the Spirit in the highest sense, that we were not prepared to try to point out the varying pitfalls and sometimes the difficulties that must lie in the path of those who would truly serve from the plans of illumination. I think any soul in your world who sets out to discover truth will realize that in the process of learning truth, one must at times expect to come to the realization that the path itself is difficult and tortuous, that there will be on that path of progress experiences sometimes that cause distress of mind, that cause one to feel apprehensive and concerned. Indeed, one might say that the path of truth is truly a hard and difficult road. And on that path, as one goes forward, one realizes more and more the number of people who fall by the wayside and are distressed, feeling they have no strength to go further. They have had disappointments and disillusionments before, and they no doubt will again. Spiritualism, as you term it, because fundamentally it is of the highest truth, must therefore present difficulties and to some extent complications. Because we must always remember that we are dealing with mind, that we are dealing with the awareness and the consciousness of the human spirit, and that it is a path that is long, and that many who tread it, endeavoring to return to your world, to converse with you, to guide you, to give you their idea and impression, to give you their truth as they know it and as they see it. So you must have and will have, to some extent, some confusion. The vast majority of mediums are in themselves sincere. The vast majority are genuine. But it alters not the fact that the very fact of being a medium and hypersensitive, the mere fact of being such an individual, sort of, as it were, placed between two worlds as an intermediary, subject to all manner of conditional vibration, all manner of thoughts, from all manner of spheres, there is bound to be, at times, some difficulty. And not always is it possible for an instrument, no matter how sincere or genuine, always able to perceive that which is good and that which is not so good. For we must remember, as I've said before, around your earth is the astral atmosphere, which is very real, very vital, very alive, full of pregnant thoughts and ideas, and many individuals who in themselves are not evil, but who are not necessarily progress, who are assimilating to some extent some experience and knowledge, and also at the same time as they make some progress casting off. And there is this belt of atmosphere which is very alive and very real, and vast numbers of instruments, well-meaning souls, very seldom rise beyond that vibration. It is a tragedy, not only of spiritualism, of course, as such, but it is a tragedy of the world, because all manner of peoples who do not even suppose themselves to be mediums or instruments, indeed many thousands of peoples who are ignorant indeed of the whole subject, yet nevertheless there is, without their realizing it, some impression made upon their minds by this astral force or astral power. One could go into this in detail, which would take not just one short lecture such as this, but many, because possibly it is one of the most interesting and at the same time affecting conditions. This astral condition of life, which is a very real one, and which, if one is to serve truly in a spiritual sense, must be very aware of and be at the same time prepared not only to accept its reality, but also make sure within one's inner self that you are obtaining contact further afield. In other words, that you are in the hands of souls who are able to protect, to guard, to guide not only the instrument, but the peoples who may be involved with that instrument. Indeed, this subject is so vast that I could dwell on this for a long time, because I consider it one of the most important aspects of this whole subject. To avoid the dangers, and they are very real dangers, we must never hide from ourselves this realization, this truth, they are very real dangers, that in all spiritual and psychic contexts, at all times, those who are involved should be aspiring to the highest possible level and not be content with so much that is often given through from astral souls and astral minds. To be sure that which you are receiving is good and wise and honest. You know only too well how often at circles and meetings it is on a level that is very low, pandering to the minds of the individuals of earth who seek messages. And indeed the vast majority, I suppose, of spiritualists and churches and societies is made up of this type. And unfortunately, the true power of the spirit is seldom manifest. I do not wish to cause undue concern, but I do say to all those, wherever they may be, who are seeking truth, that by your very seeking and your very desiring, you must reach out to that high level and not be content with that which is so often given. I know that there are times when it is difficult, to be sure. There are times indeed when perhaps what may seem to be of a high nature may not so be. Indeed, sometimes it means that it is a long time before it is fully realized, and much time is wasted, much effort is wasted, and much disillusion follows in its wake. But I do not want to sound too pessimistic, because I do feel that we together in our work, knowing as we must know and do know together the difficulties, we shall at all times endeavor to overcome. We shall at all times be analytical and, if necessary, critical. Because we on this side who come to you are just as analytical and critical as anyone in your world may well be, even those who are beginning, as it were, seeking truth, even the most skeptical of people in your world who approach the subject in that frame of mind and will not readily accept. We understand and we sympathize with them because, in a sense, it is true to say that we who come from the higher realms are in our own fashion and in our own way skeptical. You may think this is the most extraordinary statement, but it's perfectly true. We are skeptical as to what real effect we are going to have on the people of Earth, how much they are going to be able to perceive of truth, and how much more will they be able to put it into action, into practice, how much truth we shall be successful in permeating, as it were, through into your world, through the dross and the drivel and the atmosphere and the conditions created by the astral plane and by, to some extent, of course, your own. In other words, when we come to you, we are battling with conditions and vibrations which are so complex and so confused that we are, in a sense, as skeptical as the most skeptical person on earth as to what result we are going to have when a person attends the sounds in your world. They often approach it with an open mind. They may be, in a sense, skeptical. Perhaps, in a sense, they may have tremendous hope in themselves that it is going to be a remarkable manifestation, and yet at the same time realizing it could well be the opposite. It could be a confused sounds, or it could be a complete flop. In other words, we, to some extent, although we come to you with high hopes, we at least are prepared for perhaps failure. We do not start off with the thought of failure. I wouldn't have anything there. But we have to admit the fact that reaching you is not easy, and that which we may want to say to you may not come through as clearly as we would wish. We sometimes wonder how much you have received correctly. For words cannot convey correctly the intensity of that which we know and feel and experience. There are many words that are used to describe the most mundane thing. And yet, though it may conjure a picture in the mind, and by that you understand what is being given to you, you must remember there is much here in our world that we are aware of, that we feel within ourselves, for which there is no picturization that we can convey to you. There is no word that will conjure it up. So we have to bring down to your earth level much that in its sense true meaning is lost. It is an unfortunate thing. We often say to you that we come into your world to show people the path of wisdom and of truth, and at the same time we know that we can only show them in a very small sense, in a very small way. It is as if we are teaching children and we must use simple words, simple expressions. We must help them when they stumble and they fall, and we must endeavour, if we can, to strengthen them. But it is very difficult. There is much that we want to convey. It is feasible and possible that a certain amount shall be conveyed to you. But I want you always to be aware, to be conscious of the fact that you yourselves can help us perhaps much more than you realize. We do not ask you, any of you, to be perfect, for we who come to you are far from perfect. We do not ask you to take unto yourself things which perhaps are too far removed and cannot easily be understood and accepted. But we do ask you at all times, not only realizing our difficulty, but to give of yourselves in every sense that you can, in sincerity and in love. By all means, we do not mind your criticism. We do not mind your attitude of being critical. This is a good thing, not a bad thing. That is the tragedy, of course, in so many ways, of your world, that it is not critical in the highest sense. There's a great deal of criticism and a great deal of attitude of mind of being critical in the wrong sense. But kindly criticism, kind thoughts, which in themselves are trying to understand, people whose lives are given to searching for truth and yet are not afraid to criticize even the truth they hold. This is good. The vast majority of peoples in your world who accept religion as they term it, or accept truth as they see it, accept it blindly. They do not think deeply about it. Or if they do, they are afraid to think too deeply in case they find something which they must reject. Truth has always been accepted, in the highest sense, that is, and rejected. Do not misunderstand this. But what I mean by this is that for a period of time, you accept truth of a kind. It will always be truth. But as you learn greater truth, so the lesser truth, remaining truth, becomes less important. But it is, as it were, a rung of the ladder by which you have climbed to greater heights. Truth will always be truth, but it may only be truth for a certain aspect of time in memory and in thought and in the realization. In other words, there is truth in all truth. There is good in all that is good. But at the same time, there is a greater good and a greater realization, a greater knowledge and a greater truth, and we grow by truth from step to step. Like children that learn to walk, we then begin to run, and soon we begin to perceive with a greater vision and a greater realization. But oft times in the early stages, it is necessary to be slow, and to accept gradually, and to grow gradually, and by that you become strengthened. We must look upon life as something which is constant movement. It has shape, it has form, but as it moves faster and gains momentum, and gains greater velocity and strength and power, so it becomes able. By its very power itself, more able to digest, to learn, to become strengthened, and to reach greater heights, we come out of the darkness into the light. We are born in darkness, and we grow in light, and we have many deaths, but each death is a rebirth into a greater form of life, with a greater vision and a greater experience and a greater life and a greater light and illumination. We must not fear death of any kind, for we shall know much truth, and it shall die within us for a greater truth to be revealed. For this is life eternal, and if we can visualize to some extent what that means. It must mean many lives, many changes, many forms of truth, many growths within ourselves. But we shall constantly go forward in truth, to greater truth. We must not be afraid. We must be strong. We must be sure that truly we are immortal beings. Peace be unto you, children.
Thank you, Mother Bonifacio. Very much indeed.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, Mickey.
Thank you very much.